Our reading this morning is in the book of Acts. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. This is our story, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, this is an interesting Sunday. I don't preach very often, as you know, and so when I do, it's always, because it's so intermittent now compared to 30-odd years, it's a little different when you get up. It's kind of like, you feel like, maybe I should go back to the homiletic books I used in seminary and figure out what I'm going to talk about. But I said to somebody once, I've said it to several people, that preaching for me in the course of my ministry is kind of like taking a spiritual shower, because God has always done something other than along with what I have prepared in the way of a message. Now that I don't preach very often, though, that water of that shower seems to be getting a little hotter. So, and particularly this morning, we are continuing in our study of Acts, and this the good news that can't be stopped, which is really defines the whole book of Acts. But it's a little trickier this morning, because you'll see the title. Lisa asked me if I had a title for my sermon. I don't normally title them, and if I do, it's usually just for me. I don't share it, but. Well, I looked at this one, and it's those three verses you just heard that are about death, persecution, and the body of Christ scattered. Well, that's good. That's good news, isn't it? So you can see the title. It's called Bad, Better, and Best. And the bad is pretty easy to find in that reading, and it starts right in the first line. Really, in the first two words, and Saul. Saul, who of course is Paul, Saul is his. I'm going to call him Paul all the way through because that's who he is throughout the New Testament. As soon as he starts his mission to the Gentiles, he uses Paul and he uses it till his life's end. But it comes in that sentence that Saul approved of the killing, the murder, the stoning of Stephen. And I don't know about you, but I have a very hard time reconciling that man standing there with the man who has become my hero in the faith, the man who has written almost half of the New Testament, the man who is such an incredible and unfledging Christian once he accepted Jesus. It's hard to see him standing there and giving his heartless approval of the stoning of Stephen and watching it with some sense of. You know, Paul was respected by his people at this stage, certainly. He was a Pharisee, and by his own admission, a little later in Acts, when he talks about his past before Christ, he was not only a Pharisee, he was a damn good one. And he wants to make sure you know that when he talks about how bad a person he was when he reflects on his life as rubbish before coming to know the Lord. And he was very well educated. In Jesus' day, in Paul's day, there were two very well-respected rabbis that people became students of. One was Gamaliel, and the other one was Hillel. And Gamaliel was Paul's teacher. He studied under Gamaliel, the rabbi. And so he knew and was very zealous for the Torah, the law. Not only that, but he was determined to protect the integrity of Judaism and to defend it savagely, if necessary, as we see him in these opening verses. He was dedicated to the eradication of this growing threat to what he saw as a threat from the followers of Jesus. And not only so, he wasn't alone in that, because he was sanctioned to go about hunting down these followers of the Lord. He was sanctioned by the Council of the Sanhedrin. Now, that's bad enough, but the bad gets even worse when we see the lengths that he was willing to go to, that he would be breaking into the homes in Jerusalem and dragging men and women out into the streets and then carrying them off to imprisonment. He is the spark that ignites the first persecution of Christians in history, barely after their formation as a church, even before they came to be known as Christians. And the believers, the body of Christ, run for their lives, and the church is scattered. We shouldn't be surprised by any of that. If you remember at all what we learned last week in last week's gospel, when Jesus taught the disciples and said, "But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." Doesn't this sound like good news? It's pretty rough stuff, and it is bad. And it seems like this murder, this terrorism by Paul, and the violence could well have spelled the end of the whole Christian movement, the Way as it was first called. But this bad news is not all bad. It does get better, and here is why. In Romans 8:28, we read, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." Well, is it better for Stephen? In retrospect from last week, and as he's being stoned, suddenly get to this place where he lifts his face to heaven and he has a vision of the Lord. And Jonathan last week, when he spoke of this, made one little mistake on the word he used, because he said that Stephen looked up and saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. That's not what it says. It says he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Traditionally, in Jewish culture, and I think even to this day, sitting is a position of teaching, and it's a position of authority. So when Jesus sits at the right hand of God in the heavenly realm, he's sitting in that place of authority as the Father is placing all things under his feet. And when he sat in the synagogue, in his home synagogue, and taught, and when he said, he did a passage from Isaiah and said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, he's sitting, he's teaching, and so when he's standing, that is a position of taking action. So when Stephen looks up, his face radiates, suddenly almost not even aware any longer of the stones that are tearing and ripping his body apart and smashing him, and as his life is bleeding out of him. And he sees Jesus standing. I think Jesus is standing because he's about to welcome Stephen home into glory. Incredible and fabulous and wonderful. What a legacy. What a legacy is Stephen and this witness of his stoning. What could have been just another story of another individual being killed for his inability to follow the status quo, for going against it. It could have been relegated to the sand of history and nobody would have cared. But no, this has been enshrined in the Word of God. And it stands and will stand forever in this solid Word of God as a witness to faith and to courage, and he'll never be forgotten. As he's being broken and torn, his life ebbing away, with radiant face, he exalts his Savior, and he speaks familiar words of forgiveness. Father, do not hold this against him. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When I look at Stephen, I don't see Stephen. I see Jesus. And I think we all see Jesus and we hear Jesus in that moment, which is precisely what Stephen would have wanted. A disciple in the first century, and the word literally is translated learner, and so disciples are students, and so the disciples of Jesus are learners. But the thing about being a disciple, whether it's of Jesus or whether it's of a rabbi, the one thing you wanted more than anything is to become exactly like your teacher. And so that's why when we see Jesus as he starts his ministry and the people are amazed, because he speaks as one who has authority. In other words, when Jesus taught, they were trying to figure out who he had studied under, because he spoke, been trained and followed a rabbi, and learned to become like the rabbi, and was expressing the thoughts and the attitudes and the words of a rabbi. Jesus needed no rabbi. He is the source material. He needed no one to teach him. His Father was with him the whole way. And so Stephen would have wanted to be exactly like Jesus, and isn't that what all of us want? We all want to mature up into Christ. We all want to have people see Christ in us, and we want to see Christ in others. The bishop who ordained me, Bishop Barry Jinks, whenever he did a service at the end of the service, he always closed it the same way. In his blessing, he'd say, "And may you see Christ in others, and may they see Christ in you." And that's our goal in becoming like Jesus. We want to reflect his attitudes, his words, his heart, his passion, his love, his acceptance, his forgiveness, and all of the things for which we are so grateful that we've received from him. God takes this dark and horrific tragedy, and through his inspired word, he leaves us a spirit-nourished witness, a spirit-nourishing witness that echoes down throughout all the ages of Christian history, down to our own day, and will continue to echo in the years to come. And it's a witness that continues and will continue to edify and encourage all who face seemingly insurmountable trials. All things are possible with God. Without Him, we are so lost. But with Him, we can face and endure the worst that this world can throw at us. And we all know others who have and continue to do those battles. Well, that's the better part. But what else is better as we take a look? Because there's another piece to it. And what's also better is the church being scattered, believe it or not. See, not all the believers, it says all the believers were scattered. No, not all were. We know that. We know the apostles weren't. We know there were thousands of people in Jerusalem. And we know that the center of the early church was Jerusalem. So while many scattered, it wasn't all. But obviously, many remained. And so those scattered didn't run off into the hills in fear for their lives. They didn't go to live in caves up in the mountains. No, they returned to the cities, the towns, the villages in Samaria, Judea, from which they had come to Jerusalem. And the reason I know that is because in the very next verse, I don't know why Ryan did not include verse 4 in this the scripture that he wanted us to preach on today. But it says that those who were scattered continued to preach the gospel. They continued to preach the gospel. And the word is those who were scattered. The word for scattered is diasparison in the Greek. And it comes from the root verb spero, which refers to scattering seeds. So as these people are scattered through Judea and through Samaria, they are scattering the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere they go. By God's providence and by His powerful hand, this persecution, begun in blood and violence, became the first Christian missionary effort, proclaiming the Prince of Peace. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Mission begun right there in the most unexpected way. Stephen, we know, was the first Christian martyr. And martyr and witness are the same word in the Greek, martyros. And he fulfilled both meanings of that word. Yes, he was a witness and a powerful one that will continue to inspire Christians down through the rest of history. But he was also the first Christian martyr. So the first Christian martyr, the first Christian missionary effort. So how do we get from what's better to what's best? Well, and that comes in the final slide. From Joel, second chapter, verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." I have to deal with the out of order of things in today's readings. In the church calendar, 2 weeks from now, we will celebrate Pentecost, the outpouring of God's Spirit. But in our coverage of preaching through the book of Acts, of course, we're already long past that. And so these are people, all of these people, are people who are spirit-filled. They were there when Peter preached his magnificent sermon and 3,000 came to the Lord that day. How I wish I could preach a sermon and see 3,000 people come to the Lord, especially a sermon where he accuse them all of being murderers. Not the easiest route to take on your message, on your first sermon to the people of Jerusalem. But, and so this has happened already, and all these people, that momentous event in Joel is fulfilled in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And so we're not covering events from our epistle today that Martin read, events before Pentecost, but rather after it. The best in all of this is we're talking about believers who already have the Spirit of God dwelling within them, empowering them, teaching them, encouraging them. It is in the power of the Spirit that they are compelled to preach the gospel. They can't do anything else. They are so full of the Spirit and the power of the Lord that they have to preach the good news of Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit powerfully present in Stephen that enables him to rise above his pain and suffering into a place of worship and praise and forgiveness, even as he is giving up his life to violent men. It's the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was promised and poured out on those first Christians, is the same Spirit living in these Christians, in us. It's God, the Holy Spirit, God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we too have all the resources that the Spirit provided for those first Christians, for Stephen, and for all who would come after them. I love the fact that today's gospel, according to John, that John is the only gospel writer that refers to the Holy Spirit using a particular word. In the reading, it said the helper, the Holy Spirit. The word for helper is parakletos, the paraclete. And he uses the paraclete to name the Holy Spirit five times in his gospel. It literally is translates as one called alongside. God the Holy Spirit is exactly that, the one who is called to come alongside us, to help, to comfort, to counsel, to guide, and to teach. Where are you, I wonder, and I don't expect an answer, on this spectrum of bad, better, and best? Are you at that place where you've surrendered your life to the one who promises never to allow anyone to snatch you from his hand because the Father has given you to him? The promise of the gospel is that once we do, once we give our lives to him, once we surrender to him, then nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Think about that as we now turn our hearts to the Lord's table. Thanks be to God. Amen. You want this one?